Close your eyes and watch this. Close your eyes and watch this.
Accessing. Access granted. Loading.
Democracy versus justice.
Goal setting action show. Conscious talk. Straight talk. Democracy versus justice.
Welcome everyone as we travel cyberspace, present, past, and future. Presenting the case of Democracy versus Justice, write the email democracyversusjustice@gmail.com.
Comment about personal experiences. Comment on the evidence presented.
And answer the question, can our democracy we participate in every day produce justice and help solve the problem? Let your voice be heard.
From the State Correctional Institution and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Justice Radio Station. Social Issues App. 2015. USA Incorporated. Open Air Prison. Open Air Prison, USA Incorporated, USA Incorporated, USA Incorporated.
Is fast becoming one of the biggest open air prisons on Earth. Prison Radio.
The purpose of broadcasting Democracy versus Justice is addressed to the individual person about what justice is and what the individual person can do in day-to-day life to produce justice by asking questions about definitions of words, by using words that reveal truth, by understanding racism, which is white supremacy, what it is and how it works. Visit producejustice.com. No major problem can be eliminated until we first eliminate the problem of racism, which is white supremacy. A system of justice will be better than what we have. Justice meaning no one mistreated, black or white. Take the challenge. Stop the cycle of deception. Deception, 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 deception.
our people are poor, and you know damn well nobody wants to be poor. This play is gonna show how the pigs react when the people start to take community control over what belongs to them and liberate it back.
You played my mama. You played my papa. Don't leave me.
Power game of white supremacy. Power game of white supremacy. Lies, logic, deceit. Power game, power of game, white supremacy. Power white supremacy. Lies, logics, deceit. How they view the world. How white supremacists, man, woman, and child, view our planet, view the world. Power game, power of game, white supremacy. White supremacy.
The people say, freedom.
Power game, power game, white supremacy, white supremacy.
The feeling of having no power over people and events is generally unbearable to us. When we feel helpless, we feel miserable. No one wants less power. Everyone wants more. In the world today, however, it is dangerous to seem too power hungry, to be overt with your power moves. We have to seem fair and decent. So, we need to be subtle, congenial, yet cunning. Democratic, yet devious.
Power game, power of game, white supremacy. Power of white supremacy.
This game of constant duplicity most resembles the power dynamic that existed in the scheming world of the old aristocratic court. Throughout history, a court has always formed itself around the person in power. King, queen, emperor, leader. The courtiers who filled this court were in an especially delicate position. They had to serve their masters, but if they seemed to fawn, if they curried favor too obviously, the other courtiers around them would notice and would act against them. Attempts to win the master's favor, then, had to be subtle. And even skilled courtiers capable of such subtlety still had to protect themselves from their fellow courtiers, who at all moments were scheming to push them aside.
Power game, power game, white supremacy, white supremacy.
Meanwhile, the court was supposed to represent the height of civilization and refinement. Violent or overt power moves were frowned upon. Courtiers would work silently and secretly against any among them who used force. This was the courtier's dilemma. While appearing the very paragon of elegance, they had to outwit and thwart their own opponents in the subtlest of ways. The successful courtier learned over time to make all of his moves indirect. If he stabbed an opponent in the back, it was with a velvet glove on his hand and the sweetest of smiles on his face. Instead of using coercion or outright treachery, the perfect courtier got his way through seduction, charm, deception, and subtle strategy, always planning several moves ahead. Life in the court was a never-ending game that required constant vigilance and tactical thinking. It was civilized war. Today, we face a peculiarly similar paradox to that of the courtier. Everything must appear civilized, decent, democratic, and fair. But if we play by those rules too strictly, if we take them too literally, we are crushed by those around us who are not so foolish. As the great Renaissance diplomat and courtier Niccolo Machiavelli wrote, any man who tries to be good all the time is bound to come to ruin among the great number who are not good. The court imagined itself the pinnacle of refinement, but underneath its glittering surface, a cauldron of dark emotions, greed, envy, lust, hatred, boiled and simmered.
Power game.
Our world today similarly imagines itself the pinnacle of fairness, yet the same ugly emotions still stir within us as they have forever. The game is the same. Outwardly, you must seem to respect the niceties, but inwardly, unless you are a fool, you learn quickly to be prudent and to do as Napoleon advised. Place your iron hand inside a velvet glove. If, like the courtier of times gone by, you can master the arts of indirection, learning to seduce, charm, deceive, and subtly outmaneuver your opponents, you will attain the heights of power. You will be able to make people bend to your will without their realizing what you have done. And if they do not realize what you have done, they will neither resent nor resist you. To some people, the notion of consciously playing power games, no matter how indirect, seems evil, asocial, a relic of the past. They believe they can opt out of the game by behaving in ways that have nothing to do with power. You must beware of such people. They are often among the most adept players at power. They utilize strategies that cleverly disguise the nature of the manipulation involved. These types, for example, will often display their weakness and lack of power as a kind of moral virtue. But true powerlessness, without any motive of self-interest, would not publicize its weakness to gain sympathy or respect. Making a show of one's weakness is actually a very effective strategy, subtle and deceptive, in the game of power. Another strategy of the supposed non-player is to demand equality in every area of life. Everyone must be treated alike, whatever their status and strength. But if, to avoid the taint of power, you attempt to treat everyone equally and fairly, you will confront the problem that some people do certain things better than others. Treating everyone equally means ignoring their differences, elevating the less skillful, and suppressing those who excel. Again, many of those who behave this way are actually deploying another power strategy, redistributing people's rewards in a way that they determine. Yet another way of avoiding the game would be perfect honesty and straightforwardness, since one of the main techniques of those who seek power is deceit and secrecy.
Power game.
But being perfectly honest will inevitably hurt and insult a great many people, some of whom will choose to injure you in return. No one will see your honest statement as completely objective and free of some personal motivation. And they will be right. In truth, the use of honesty is indeed a power strategy intended to convince people of one's noble, good-hearted, selfless character. It is a form of persuasion, even a subtle form of coercion. Finally, those who claim to be non-players may affect an air of naivete to protect them from the accusation that they are after power. Beware again, however, for the appearance of naivete can be an effective means of deceit. And even genuine naivete is not free of the snares of power. Children may be naive in many ways, but they often act from an elemental need to gain control over those around them. Children suffer greatly from feeling powerless in the adult world, and they use any means available to get their way. Genuinely innocent people may still be playing for power, and are often horribly effective at the game, since they are not hindered by reflection. Once again, those who make a show or display of innocence are the least innocent of all. You can recognize these supposed non-players by the way they flaunt their moral qualities, their piety, their exquisite sense of justice. But since all of us hunger for power, and almost all of our actions are aimed at gaining it, the non-players are merely throwing dust in our eyes, distracting us from their power plays with their air of moral superiority. If you observe them closely, you will see, in fact, that they are often the ones most skillful at indirect manipulation, even if some of them practice it unconsciously, and they greatly resent any publicizing of the tactics they use every day. If the world is like a giant scheming court, and we are trapped inside it, there is no use in trying to opt out of the game. That will only render you powerless, and powerlessness will make you miserable. Instead of struggling against the inevitable, instead of arguing and whining and feeling guilty, it is far better to excel at power. In fact, the better you are at dealing with power, the better friend, lover, husband, wife, and person you become. By following the route of the perfect courtier, you learn to make others feel better about themselves, becoming a source of pleasure to them. They will grow dependent on your abilities and desirous of your presence. By mastering the 48 laws in this book, you spare others the pain that comes from bungling with power, by playing with fire without knowing its properties. If the game of power is inescapable, better to be an artist than a denier or a bungler. Learning the game of power requires a certain way of looking at the world, a shifting of perspective. It takes effort and years of practice, for much of the game may not come naturally. Certain basic skills are required, and once you master these skills, you will be able to apply the laws of power more easily. The most important of these skills and power's crucial foundation is the ability to master your emotions. An emotional response to a situation is the single greatest barrier to power, a mistake that will cost you a lot more than any temporary satisfaction you might gain by expressing your feelings. Emotions cloud reason, and if you cannot see the situation clearly, you cannot prepare for and respond to it with any degree of control. Anger is the most destructive of emotional responses, for it clouds your vision the most. It also has a ripple effect that invariably makes situations less controllable and heightens your enemy's resolve. If you are trying to destroy an enemy who has hurt you, far better to keep him off guard by feigning friendliness than showing your anger. Love and affection are also potentially destructive, in that they blind you to the often self-serving interests of those whom you least suspect of playing a power game. You cannot repress anger or love, or avoid feeling them, and you should not try, but you should be careful about how you express them. And most important, they should never influence your plans and strategies in any way. Related to mastering your emotions is the ability to distance yourself from the present moment and think objectively about the past and future. Like the double-faced Roman deity and guardian of all gates and doorways, you must be able to look in both directions at once, the better to handle danger from wherever it comes. Such is the face you must create for yourself, one face looking continuously to the future and the other to the past. For the future, the motto is, no days unalert. Nothing should catch you by surprise because you are constantly imagining problems before they arise. Instead of spending your time dreaming of your plan's happy ending, you must work on calculating every possible permutation and pitfall that might emerge in it. The further you see, the more steps ahead you plan, the more powerful you become. The other face of Janus looks constantly to the past, though not to remember past hurts or bear grudges. That would only curb your power. Half of the game is learning how to forget those events in the past that eat away at you and cloud your reason. The real purpose of the backward glancing eye is to educate yourself constantly. You look at the past to learn from those who came before you. The many historical examples in this book will greatly help that process. Then, having looked to the past, you look closer at hand to your own actions and those of your friends. This is the most vital school you can learn from because it comes from personal experience. You begin by examining the mistakes you have made in the past, the ones that have most grievously held you back. You analyze them in terms of the 48 laws of power, and you extract from them a lesson and an oath. I shall never repeat such a mistake. I shall never fall into such a trap again. If you can evaluate and observe yourself in this way, you can learn to break the patterns of the past, an immensely valuable skill. Power requires the ability to play with appearances. To this end, you must learn to wear many masks and keep a bag full of deceptive tricks.
Power game.
Deception and masquerade should not be seen as ugly or immoral. All human interaction requires deception on many levels. And in some ways, what separates humans from animals is our ability to lie and deceive. In Greek myths, in India's Mahabharata cycle, in the Middle Eastern epic of Gilgamesh, it is the privilege of the gods to use deceptive arts. A great man, Odysseus, for instance, was judged by his ability to rival the craftiness of the gods, stealing some of their divine power by matching them in wits and deception. Deception is a developed art of civilization and the most potent weapon in the game of power. You cannot succeed at deception unless you take a somewhat distanced approach to yourself, unless you can be many different people wearing the mask that the day and the moment require. With such a flexible approach to all appearances, including your own, you lose a lot of the inward heaviness that holds people down. Make your face as malleable as the actor's. Work to conceal your intentions from the others. Practice luring people into traps. Playing with appearances and mastering arts of deception are among the aesthetic pleasures of life. They are also key components in the acquisition of power. If deception is the most potent weapon in your arsenal, then patience in all things is your crucial shield. Patience will protect you from making moronic blunders. Like mastering your emotions, patience is a skill. It does not come naturally, but nothing about power is natural. Power is more godlike than anything in the natural world. And patience is the supreme virtue of the gods who have nothing but time. Everything good will happen. The grass will grow again. If you give it time and see several steps into the future, impatience, on the other hand, only makes you look weak. It is a principal impediment to power. Power is essentially amoral, and one of the most important skills to acquire is the ability to see circumstances rather than good or evil. Power is a game. This cannot be repeated too often. And in games, you do not judge your opponents by their intentions, but by the effect of their actions. You measure their strategy and their power by what you can see and feel. How often are someone's intentions made the issue only to cloud and deceive? What does it matter if another player, your friend or rival, intended good things and had only your interests at heart if the effects of his action lead to so much ruin and confusion? It is only natural for people to cover up their actions with all kinds of justifications, always assuming that they have acted out of goodness. you must learn to inwardly laugh each time you hear this and never get caught up in gauging someone's intentions and actions through a set of moral judgments that are really an excuse for the accumulation of power. It is a game. Your opponent sits opposite you.
See that?
Remember the power game. Power game. Power game.
Both of you behave as gentlemen or ladies, observing the rules of the game and taking nothing personally. You play with a strategy and you observe your opponent's moves with as much calmness as you can muster. In the end, you will appreciate the politeness of those you are playing with more than their good and sweet intentions. Train your eye to follow the results of their moves, the outward circumstances, and do not be distracted by anything else. Half of your mastery of power comes from what you do not do, what you do not allow yourself to get dragged into. For this skill, you must learn to judge all things by what they cost you. As Nietzsche wrote, the value of a thing sometimes lies not in what one attains with it, but in what one pays for it, what it costs us. Perhaps you will attain your goal, and a worthy goal at that, but at what price? Apply this standard to everything, including whether to collaborate with other people to come to their aid. In the end, life is short, opportunities are few, and you have only so much energy to draw on. And in this sense, time is as important a consideration as any other. Never waste valuable time or mental peace of mind on the affairs of others. That is too high a price to pay. Power is a social game. To learn and master it, you must develop the ability to study and understand people. As the great 17th century thinker and courtier Balthazar Gracian wrote, many people spend time studying the properties of animals or herbs. How much more important it would be to study those of people with whom we must live or die. To be a master player, you must also be a master psychologist.
Power game.
You must recognize motivations and see through the cloud of dust with which people surround their actions. An understanding of people's hidden motives is the single greatest piece of knowledge you can have in acquiring power. It opens up endless possibilities of deception, seduction, and manipulation. People are of infinite complexity, and you can spend a lifetime watching them without ever fully understanding them. So it is all the more important, then, to begin your education now. In doing so, you must also keep one principle in mind. Never discriminate as to whom you study and whom you trust. Never trust anyone completely, and study everyone, including friends and loved ones. Finally, you must learn always to take the indirect route to power. Disguise your cunning like a billiard ball that caroms several times before it hits its target. Your moves must be planned and developed in the least obvious way. By training yourself to be indirect, you can thrive in the modern court, appearing the paragon of decency while being the consummate manipulator. Consider the 48 Laws of Power, a kind of handbook on the arts of indirection.
Power game.
The laws are based on the writings of men and women who have studied and mastered the game of power. These writings span a period of more than 3,000 years and were created in civilizations as disparate as ancient China and Renaissance Italy. Yet they share common threads and themes, together hinting at an essence of power that has yet to be fully articulated. The 48 laws of power are the distillation of this accumulated wisdom, gathered from the writings of the most illustrious strategists, statesmen, courtiers, seducers, and con artists in history.
Remember the power game. Remember the power game of the white supremacists. Power game. Power of game. White supremacists.
See that?
The laws have a simple premise. Certain actions almost always increase one's power, the observance of the law, while others decrease it and even ruin us, the transgression of the law. These transgressions and observances are illustrated by historical examples. The laws are timeless and definitive. The 48 laws of power can be used in several ways. By listening to this program straight through, you can learn about power in general. Although several of the laws may seem not to pertain directly to your life, in time you will probably find that all of them have some application and that, in fact, they are interrelated. By getting an overview of the entire subject, you will best be able to evaluate your own past actions and gain a greater degree of control over your immediate affairs. The program can also be picked apart for entertainment, for an enjoyable ride through the foibles and great deeds of our predecessors in power. A warning, however, to those who use the program for this purpose, it might be better to turn back. Power is endlessly seductive and deceptive in its own way. It is a labyrinth. Your mind becomes consumed with solving its infinite problems, and you soon realize how pleasantly lost you have become. In other words, it becomes most amusing by taking it seriously. Do not be frivolous with such a critical matter. The gods of power frown on the frivolous. They give ultimate satisfaction only to those who study and reflect, and punish those who skim the surfaces looking for a good time.
Democracy versus justice.
See that?
Remember the power game. Power game. Power
of
game.
White supremacy.
See that?
You use formlessness not because it creates inner harmony and peace, but because it will increase your power. Finally, learning to adapt to each new circumstance means seeing events through your own eyes and often ignoring the advice that people constantly peddle your way. It means that ultimately you must throw out the laws that others preach and the books they write to tell you what to do and the sage advice of the elder. The laws that govern circumstances are abolished by new circumstances, Napoleon wrote. Which means that it is up to you to gauge each new situation. Rely too much on other people's ideas, and you end up taking a form not of your own making.
See that?
Remember the power game. Power game.
Power
of
game.
White supremacy.
See that?
Too much respect for other people's wisdom will make you depreciate your own. Be brutal with the past, especially your own, and have no respect for the philosophies that are foisted on you from outside.
Thank you.
do not fight the last war. The guerrilla war of the mind strategy. What most often weighs you down and brings you misery is the past, in the form of unnecessary attachments, repetitions of tired formulas, and the memory of old victories and defeats. You must consciously wage war against the past and force yourself to react to the present moment. Be ruthless on yourself. Do not repeat the same tired methods. Sometimes you must force yourself to strike out in new directions, even if they involve risk.
See that?
Remember the power game. Power game. Power of game. White supremacy. White
supremacy. See that?
What you may lose in comfort and security, you will gain in surprise, making it harder for your enemies to tell what you will do. Wage guerrilla war on your mind, allowing no static lines of defense, no exposed citadels. Make everything fluid and mobile. The last war.
See that?
See that? Even a smooth criminal one day must get caught. Shot up a shot down with the bullet that he bought. 9mm kicking, thinking about what the street do to me. Cause they never taught peace in the black community. All we know is violence, do the job in silence. Walk the city streets like a rat pack of tyrants. Too many brothers, daily headed for the big pen. Niggas coming out worse off than when they went in. Over the years I've done a lot of growing up. Get drunk, throwing up, cuffed up. Then I said I had enough. There must be another route way out to money and fame. I changed my name, played a different game. Tired of being trapped in this business cycle. And one more coup or ass is weak, I just might go psycho. And when I get him, I hit him with a bum rush. Only a lunatic would like to see a score crush. Yo, if you're smart, you really let me go cheap. But keep me cooped up in this ghetto and catch the Uzi. They got me trapped.
See that?
Who and what is behind the cause of major problems? At the end of the day, who benefits?
If you do not understand racism, which is white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else you understand will only confuse you. Justice will be a better system than what we have.
Justice meaning no one mistreated, black or white, and who need help the most receive the most constructive help in all areas of people activity in society.
All persons in the known universe, both skilled and unskilled, who have attempted to establish justice and or who have attempted to eliminate racism have so far failed. Therefore, as a victim and servant of racism, I intend to use what knowledge and understanding given me to help develop the correct procedure for eliminating racism and producing justice. After examining the idea of democracy,
I found justice missing. According to definition, our system is not a democracy as we are taught. There are no uniform rights and treatment. It includes ageism, classism, sexism, racism, and so on. If anything, we are living in an unjust global system. Justice will be a better system than what we have. There's no legal working definition for justice. The best definition I know for justice is guaranteeing that no one is mistreated, black or white, and the person needing help the most receives the most constructive help in all areas of people activity, including economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. This is the compensatory definition thought of by Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., which I think will stand forever. Calling on our ancestors, far and near, Father of our fathers, Mother of our mothers, to render mercy and bear witness to the liberation and victory of our struggle. Our struggle, the unfinished business among people of the known universe. The unfinished business, our struggle, this thing they call race. Race categories on a logical list are white people, non-white people, and white supremacists. Not all white people, only the white men and women who have signed on to mistreating all non-white people globally based on this thing called race. To eliminate problems among people, we must first eliminate the problem of racism, which is white supremacy. Understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works. In order to understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, in your goal setting, include independent study. Become familiar with the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept by Neely Fuller Jr. Visit producejustice.com. Democracy versus Justice is addressed to the individual person about what justice is and how you can produce justice as an individual person in day-to-day life by using words to presumably counter the effects of injustice, mostly by asking questions about definitions of words. When listening to Democracy versus Justice, think seriously about everything you hear. Speak and or act only in support of those things that you believe will help most to reveal truth in order to produce justice and correctness. To the best of my knowledge and understanding, the basic initial requirement for establishing justice among the people of the known universe is first to eliminate the problem of racism, which is white supremacy. Google your bookstore for justice. Be sure and listen to the archived broadcast of Democracy versus Justice, Unlocking the Mystery of His Story, giving insight into why we think and act the way we do.
See that?
Remember the power game. Power game. Power of game. White supremacy. Of white supremacy.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
give your heart for your kingdom, yeah. All ye righteous ones, oh come now. Well, yeah.
Jah, you're truly great, and you guys can see. Hey. Spread your blessings all over me. I Jah, you're truly great, and you guys can see that you spread your blessings all over me. Boy, it's a treatment, Yaga, yeah. You get the treatment. Training I blow, won't you blow my way? Send some blessing today. It's like a natural mystic blowing through it, and you feel it if you are aware. Jah love is in my heart, and I grant it to my brethren today. Teach them every bit that he say. You are truly great, and their eyes can see.
See that?
As long as white supremacy is alive and well, a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. Many look, but few see. The most unjust dynamic in the world is white supremacy. Hi, welcome back to Color Me Poetry. I'm Danny Queen. I'm here with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and we're discussing his book, Textbook for Victims of White Supremacy. Mr. Fuller, you have a long title here. Tell us about the title.
The United Independent Confessatory Code System Concept. United means that in theory or in intent, the people who are the victims of racism and or the white people who are against the proliferation or the continued use of racism as the standard for the world's business should be united against that standard. The independent part means that each individual has to do what he or she can to counter racism with the ultimate objective of ending it and replacing it with a thing that we loosely call justice, ultimately leading to peace, quote unquote. Now that means that you're independent, you are a independent
person. So it's not a collective effort.
It's collective in that you go to the third and fourth words, compensatory code. You become collective by using a code, the code of compensation, making up. That's what compensatory means, making up for what's missing. Right. And you have a code to make up for what is missing. What is missing is the use of truth to produce justice and correctness, which theoretically would equal peace. So you come up with a compensatory code, a way of thinking, speaking, and acting each and every day in all of the nine areas of activity. Then you use that code as an individual, wherever you happen to be, in all of those areas of activity. And right now, you don't have, it's only a concept. That's where the word concept comes in. See, it's strictly theory right now. You don't have a concept of white supremacy without the practice, because white supremacy is being practiced. A concept of the elimination of white supremacy and our racism and our injustice is strictly a concept. There's no such thing as justice existing anywhere on the planet, since the definition for justice is guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. People are mistreated all over the planet all the time. So you just have a concept of justice. What you have is practical injustice. It's the difference between having a concept of justice and having it actually in practice.
Now here you say the people of the known universe, it says the people, just reading off the back, the people who have the ability to eliminate racism do not have the power to do so. and the people who have the power don't have the will or the ability to do so.
Well, that's obvious. If you are imprisoned unjustly, it means that you do not have the power to get out of prison because of two factors. You don't have the will or you don't have the ability. Now, those who are the victims of racism don't have the ability because they do not have the will that provides the ability or the ability to provide the will to not be victims. Also, the racists do have the will and the ability to practice white supremacy. They have proven that.
And that's why you say that there really can't be such thing as a black racist.
No.
Because it has to do with the ability to...
It has to do with the power relationship. It has to do with something that you're actually doing.
Carrying out.
You're actually doing it. White supremacy is a fact. A lot of people do not like to admit to its existence. But any comprehensive analysis would show that such a thing does exist. So therefore, you can't have a system of black supremacy within a system of white supremacy. It's a total contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of all that has been said or done, the quality of the relationship between black and white people is, and black and white people has been total disaster.
Yes, it's a total disaster. What you mean by total is, at this particular point, it is total, because there is not a quality relationship between white people and non-white people on this planet because of the existence of the system of white supremacy. That cuts out any ability of anybody to produce a quality relationship between black people and white people. It also eliminates the possibility under the system of non-white people, black, brown, red, and yellow, interacting with each other or even with white people in a manner that is quality. By quality, we mean justice. We mean with truth. We mean doing the correct thing. You can't do it under a system of white supremacy, because the system of white supremacy is based on mistreating people and having the people react to that mistreatment. So what you have is just a lot of abuse and reactions to abuse and a continuation of the same. Now, you do accomplish a lot of technical things.
Such as?
Well, such as production of building of bridges, the building of highways, the building of buildings, of schools that, by the way, support the system of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And all of these things are designed to do just that. It's a giant ego trip for a white person to be told that because you're white, you are somewhat substantially royal, and so you should act like it. So that's a lot of incentive. Now, a non-white person sitting, say, in a classroom setting is told directly, indirectly, within the system of white supremacy, now you are being trained to be a victim of all of this.
So are you saying that two students sitting in the same classroom can come out with, after 12 years of education, quote unquote, can come out with completely different concepts of themselves and different concepts of the society in which they live? Even though they're sitting in the same classroom.
Within the system of white supremacy, it is absolutely required. In other words, the white student is being taught systematically how to be a white supremacist. The non-white student is being taught how to be a victim. So you have an opposite right there.
In the same classroom.
Same classroom at the same time.
Who and what is behind the cause of major problems? At the end of the day, who benefits?
If you do not understand racism, which is white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else you understand will only confuse you. Justice will be a better system than what we have.
Justice meaning no one mistreated, black or white, and who need help the most receive the most constructive help in all areas of people activity in society.
Thank you. are about the business of establishing justice on this planet.
See that?
Remember the power game. Remember the power game of the white supremacists, racists. Power game. White supremacists.
See that?
Justice radio station. Social issues app.